turn back to John chapter 5. We'll be turning quite a bit tonight. I think that'll be good for us. But I wanted to have an illustration to get your attention. I hope I can get it and hold it. Might learn something. Might be good for us. May have something to learn. This evening I come home and got my notes ready and walked in the house, and Kim was standing there in the kitchen, and in her arms she had a beach towel. Wrapped up in that beach towel was a chicken. Uh-oh. She must be running real late with dinner. What's this? What's happening to my home? We had a bobcat come in our backyard and got a hold of one of the chickens and was about to hop the fence, and Jaylee saw it and yelled out the window and said, "Drop it!" And it dropped it. And that bobcat jumped the fence and the chicken ran back to the coop. And so she was mending it and doctoring it up some. But she told me that, and I said, "I got my illustration. I got the story." That wasn't a bobcat she showed me a picture of. That was a Robert cat. That was a big one. You think that chicken needed saved? You think it being in the mouth of vice grip, that wildcat, that it needed somebody to do something for it? It had no defenses. It was not able, and it was about to be a meal. Somebody had to save it. That's what sinners are. They don't know it. They're walking this earth, and they're in desperate need of a Savior. And I want to tell you tonight, He is able. I can prove it. Somebody had doubts. Somebody had concerns. Like, well, maybe I'll try that when I get a little older. Or I don't know if He's good enough for me. He's the Savior. He is fully able to save to the uttermost. And I can prove it. He gives us four witnesses. He gave us John the Baptist. And that day, and this day, He has His own people. After His own heart, that tell what His Word says. Not their own word. Not a misconstrued word. They tell the Lord's Word. His works testified of Him. The miracles that He performed. And there were many. The lame walked. The blind. They saw. Deaf people heard something. And all that was a representation of what the Lord does in the heart, isn't it? He healed a blind man. I told a blind man that one time. I said, "Well, it wouldn't do you no good to have physical sight. You need God to give you spiritual eyes." He got mad at me. It's the truth. It might be nice if you could see things, but life would be easier on you. You need Him to give you spiritual eyes. It's what you need. We have those miracles in our day. We get to see those. We get to see the Lord give somebody ears to hear Christ for the first time. With his eyes to see and read the Scripture, said, "That's Him." I said, "That ark we read about in Genesis 1, that's Christ. I see that. I see that." The Father was His witness. The Father spoke from heaven. He witnessed of the Son. His angels, His messengers witnessed of the Son. He said, "This is My Son." And finally, the Scriptures witness to us. We have this Word in our hand. We can read it. Probably ain't going to understand it by yourself. But that goes back to the beginning, that He sent somebody to tell you what it means. Just like an Ethiopian eunuch. And there's a fifth one here. He's speaking to unregenerate religious peoples who He's talking to. But he slightly touches it. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the earnest of our inheritance. What is it? Is that mystical? Is that something I could levitate and move trees by myself or something like that? We believe Him. We believe His Word. We believe His messengers. We believe the Father that witnessed of Him. And we believe the work He's done in our hearts. Ain't complicated, is it? He's gave us a witness. I hope we can pay attention to that. But the context of this, what we just read, our Lord's speaking to some Pharisees. And He had just healed a lame man that they knew of for 38 years, laying by the pool of Bethesda. And He healed him. And that man said, "Jesus of Nazareth healed me." I said, "Why are you walking?" He said, "My Lord healed me." That's who did it. He made him whole. And they were angry because the Sabbath, this took place on the Sabbath. It broke their traditions. Well, we need our traditions broke. We need our traditions broke. He says in verse 16, John 5:16, And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. What you just saw happen to that man, that's God the Father and me working in him. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Our Lord, knowing their hearts, you can trick a man. I've been lied to. You get good at it. I know when somebody's lying to me. I met a couple hundred thousand people in my life. I got a little bit of sense. I know that. But you can be lied to. I can be fooled. You can be fooled. Not him. He knew their hearts. He knew their hearts. And he knew the anger that was in them, this hatred that consumed them. And he spoke to them three verily, verilys. Three amen, amens. Truly, truly. Trustworthy. He said, I and my Father are one. We're together. All power, all life that's in the Father, it's in our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it's in me too. They're the same. Then he gave another verily, verily to these people, wanted to kill him. He said, he that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He's one with the Father, and whoever hears Christ, whoever hears the Father and believes on Christ and the Father that he's one with, they hath everlasting life. Right now. You believe him? You heard him? Right now, you're alive as you're ever going to be alive. You're going to be different. But you're alive as you're ever going to be alive. That's how they hear. They're alive. That's how they have a heart to believe. They've been born again. They've been given a new heart. And then he told these religious Jews that I'm God over all. I'm God of salvation is what he's getting at. And finally, verily, verily, he's the God of resurrection. He's going to be the judge of all. There will be a day coming. He will sit in judgment. We'll be judged against him. But those that hath life, those that he's come to, will see no condemnation. That's what he told them. Do we believe him? Do we believe he and a Father are one? To call Christ Jesus Lord, a whole mess of people call him Lord. Oh, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But to call him Lord from the heart, to love him, want his will to be done. For that to happen, God did a work in you. God saved you. That's what happened. To call him Lord. That's what John told us. Said no man can call him Lord. Says the Father saved him. Says the Father put life in him. The Father made him believe. Of him and him alone is salvation. We could add to it, or are we hopeless and helpless without him? That he's coming again. And we look for his coming, because we'll be made like him forever. It says here in verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. This isn't suggesting that the Lord Jesus lacked any power. That he didn't, there was an area that he had no will or ability. He didn't lack any ability. He didn't lack any power. What it's declaring is, him and the Father are of the same will. He's telling them again, because that's what they're mad about. And so he's just going to keep hitting on it. He's going to keep telling. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are united in will, in purpose, and in word. What one says, the other says. They verify each other. He says, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. His will, his nature, cannot do anything apart from the Father and the Holy Spirit. We read that he's a God that cannot lie. That's because his nature, his character, is truth. Man says that, well, God's a God of love. Not so. That's not true. That implies that love's over here and God's over there and somehow they've conformed to one another. God is love. That's his nature. That's what it is. We need to adjust our thoughts of love to what he is, to what he says and what he's done. God's holy. Holy. That sank a little bit deeper into me this week. I've appreciated the character of God for many years now. And boy, I appreciated it more this week. We have a sovereign God, yes. But he's a holy God. He's a just God. What he does is good. What he does is right. We know these things. Boy, to get a hold of them. Yes, he is, isn't he? Be reminded one more time. He delights to show mercy. What a thought. Verse 31 says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now, it would be blasphemy to say that our Lord was a false witness. And that would be foolish. And that would be against His word. Men without understanding, without knowledge, say things like that from this verse. What he's getting at is, if the only witness I have is my words, that would open the door to suspicion. That would open the door to doubt. If he came in his own name and his own name alone, and even answering these that he's speaking to, these that sought to kill him, our Lord is fulfilling the law right now. Well, how would he say something like that? He just fulfilled the law for his people. Did you know that? In Deuteronomy 17, it says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness, he shall not be put to death. Paul told us that plainly. If somebody's going to bring a charge against the elder, you better have two or three witnesses. You want to play that game, you better bring your witnesses, don't you? Solomon told us that. He said, let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Boy, what wisdom. Not only does our Lord tell these accusers plainly, He is God. He saves His people. He'll raise them up again at the last day. He's going to judge everything in that great day of judgment. He tells them, here's four witnesses to prove everything I just told you. Will you listen? Does that get a hold of you? Do you want to know what His witnesses are? I do. It says in verse 32. This here is the fifth one I talked about for believers. But he's speaking to unbelievers. But he mentions it. There's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. The Spirit bears witness of him. Not of himself. The Holy Spirit comes. He doesn't speak concerning himself. He speaks concerning Christ. But these men haven't met the Holy Spirit yet. They don't know him yet. So he gives four witnesses of who he is. Each one builds in importance. It grows in greatness. And I'll show you that at the end. First witness is John the Baptist. This is the last of the Old Testament prophets. It says in verse 33, ye sent unto John. He's talking about what they did. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. My first witness he calls out is John the Baptist. And he said, you went to him, and everything he told you was absolutely true. What did John tell him? We've looked at this recently, haven't we? Turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 19. It says, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? John's down there in the wilderness baptizing, and everybody don't know who he was. What's going on down there? Who is this man? And he confessed, verse 20, and denied not. He told them the truth, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Who are you? I'm not Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? Are you that prophet? Deuteronomy 18, when the Lord said, Moses, I'm going to send a prophet out of the people just like you. But people's going to hear him. Are you that prophet? Is that you? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. The Lord's coming. I'm just a voice. I'm an earthen vessel. I'm a broken clay pot. And I'm a mouthpiece saying, He's coming. Look down at verse 29. This here is the next day. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John said, I'm a nobody. I'm telling you, God's coming. And then God came and he said, there he is. That's the Lamb of God. Right there he is. That's the one who made everything. That's the one who sustains everything. That's the one who gives us breath that we're breathing right now. He bore the sins of his people. That's the Lamb. That's who he's talking about. Just as that scapegoat, it was turned loose in the wilderness with those sins of Israel put on it. It was sent out to die. Christ our Lord took our sins in his body on the tree. And he bore our sins away. He took them. He bore them. The shame, the guilt, the grief, all of it. It was placed on him. He says in verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. I thought you was older, John. That's the great I am. That's what he's saying. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the Father that sent me, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending, and remaineth on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. The Father sent John to bear witness of who Christ is, and when he saw him, he said, there he is. That was his purpose, and he accomplished it. That's the witness of John. He declared Christ. Not himself, not another, Christ and him alone. And back in our text here in John 5, he says in verse 34, but I receive not testimony from a man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. Well, John said some good things about you. The Lord said, I didn't receive testimony of a man. He's saying, we don't have to trust just the witness of man alone. Even if it's a great witness. But our Lord tells us over in John 2:25, he said he needed not that any man should testify of him. What a thought. The Lord uses men and he uses means, but he does not need me. He doesn't need you. If the Lord wanted to, he'd make a donkey talk, wouldn't he? He could do that. It's pleased him to do so. Man's just an earthen vessel. And he's chose to take the weak things of this world to prove to naught the things that people think are just so wonderful. John was the greatest man born of Adam. The Lord said so. And he was just a sinner saved by grace. That's all he was. I've had people testify of me. Never met them. That's, boy, Kevin's preaching the gospel. That's the first thing I thought of. I don't need no man testify of me. That's what Paul said. You're my epistles. I've watched the Lord work in your hearts. I don't need somebody bragging on me. I ain't worried about it. But the Lord says here in verse 35, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. You all went to listen to John and ask him questions. Well, he was a great orator. Oh, he could command an audience. Oh, he's doing great things. It was a show to people. Herod went to go listen to him. These people he's speaking to went to go listen to him. But God must give ears to hear him. To hear him. Not just listen to him, to hear him. You saw that there's light in John, that God was with him. But his only testimony was of Christ. And that's why that season passed. It got old. He really preached Christ every time he preached. And people couldn't stand it no more. Or they just slept on, old sluggard. We'll get through this somehow. Take a Benadryl. Get us through it quicker. A second witness. The first witness was John. The second witness is the works of Christ. He says in verse 36, but I have a greater witness than that of John. John was a wonderful witness. Greatest man that ever lived. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. His works witnessed of him. Nicodemus knew that, didn't he? That's when he came to him in John 3 we looked at. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus didn't know the Lord, but he knew of his miracles. He knew that witness that he was sent of God, didn't it? Turn over to John chapter 11. Nicodemus wasn't the only Pharisee that knew this, that was a witness to these truths. John 11 verse 47. It said, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. And said, what do we do? What are we going to do? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. They had to concoct a plan. They was going to lose their position. They was going to lose the good gig they had set up for themselves. And that's when the high priest, being the high priest and not knowing what he was saying, he said, one must die that many can benefit. We're going to have to kill him. Well, what truth? One must die so that many can live. But they knew of these miracles. They could not deny these miracles were a witness that God was with him. His enemies couldn't deny it. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. John the Baptist was in prison, and he sent a couple of his disciples to see if this one that he had heard about was the Christ. There's many out there preaching and teaching, but he said, is this him? Go find out. Word was spreading. It says in Matthew 11, verse 2, now when John had heard in the prison, how far had word got about these miracles? Prisoners knew about it. When John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. The miracle our Lord performed, we looked at these years ago, didn't we? It's been a while. The miracles our Lord performed should not be taken lightly. Him healing a blind man, him giving life to a dead man, him allowing someone to speak that's been dumb their whole life. We shouldn't take those things lightly. This is proof of his messiahship. It's proof of who he is. I want to give you five things we should think about these miracles that the Lord performed on this earth. The first was the quantity of them, the amount of them, how many there were. We have recorded in Scripture several of them, and we go through them on occasion, don't we? We've looked at several of them, of these miracles he's performed. But boy, how many there was we don't have recorded. It wasn't a man was alive. Life was on this earth. And wherever he went, there was an effect to it. There was proof of it. Everywhere he went, miracles were performed. John said at the end of this book, as we get to the end of it here in several months, he says, and there were so many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written in. A great amount of miracles. He performed many. Second thing was the greatness of his miracles. How great these miracles were. The lame actually walked. The blind actually saw. That deaf really did hear. This really happened. It was a great, great miracle. After several days of someone being dead and they're starting to bloat and rigor mortis has set in, they lived. They walked again on this earth. I saw when I was a young fella, little bitty guy, on TV, there was a man that was slapping people on the foreheads and said, be healed. And I said, Daddy, why is that guy high-fiving in people's faces? What's he doing? He says, he's a charlatan, son. And then when Dad said something, you didn't talk back. And I thought, why is that guy's name Charlotte? He's a man, isn't he? Took me years to figure it out. This isn't some trickery. This isn't some circus show. The Lord actually healed people. There was great miracles. He had the amount of them, the greatness of them, and it was publicly known. These miracles were known all over. We just saw them in prison. They heard about them in prison, didn't they? They were not done in secret. They weren't done behind closed doors. This wasn't something done in a dark alleyway. There were thousands upon thousands of eyewitnesses. Everybody saw it. Many heard and saw what happened. That's what he said, go tell what you hear and see. They heard his voice. They saw what he did to these people. So much so, his enemies had to admit what he claimed. That's why they sought to kill him. That God was with him. Fourthly, they were never just proof of power. Could he show how powerful he was by healing somebody? To prove that he was God? Well, he's God and you wouldn't have walked up there. You wouldn't be alive. That's what it is. This isn't just a proof of power. It was a work of compassion. A work of compassion. Great and abundant acts of mercy is what it was. People that did not deserve it. He come to them and healed them. That's what he did. That was his miracles. It wasn't just an image on a piece of toast. That's what people think miracles are nowadays. Some statue is crying tears of blood. Who's that help? Nope, now you can't eat a piece of toast. You got to make another piece. I mean, it doesn't help nobody, does it? The Lord came, he's in the people business. He came to seek and to save his lost, and he shows it through these miracles. He came to take care of people, take care of his people, to heal them, to benefit them. He raised a son and gave it back to her mother. This man was blind from birth, and he gave him sight. And his parents witnessed it, didn't they? That's true service to people. That's what that is. And they were effectual. This wasn't temporary help. That man at the Pool of Bethesda, he could have went to the finest orthopedic surgeon of his day, of our day, and they'd have said, yep, the man's fine. There's no evidence of damage for 38 years. A miracle's happened. A blind man from birth, he says, now I see. His parents confirmed it. Take the best ophthalmologist you can find. And they said, yes, that man can see. He passes an eye test. This was effectual. That first witness was John the Baptist. The second one, he said, was the works he performed. And back in our text are in John 5, verse 36. He said, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. Here's the third one. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. There's a lot of controversy over that verse, and I don't know why. But there are many ways that the Father bore witness of His Son. We have it all throughout Scripture. The Father sent angels to announce His coming. He sent the angels to announce that He was coming. The angels are God's messengers. Now, they're ministers to the children of God. They minister to us, but they're His messengers. And He sent them. And He said to Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Lord sent that. The Father sent that. He spoke to Joseph. Joseph was going to put her away privily. He was an upright man. He had some sense. He read the Scriptures and he knew what it said. And he said, well, I ain't going to make a show of her. I ain't going to embarrass her. I'm going to put her away. And the Father sent an angel to him. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Those shepherds on that hillside, an angel came to them and said, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Savior, the Christ, which is Christ the Lord. That's who's coming. Our Savior was baptized when John the Baptist baptized him. The Father spoke from heaven, and it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He witnessed of Him. His messengers witnessed of Him. On that Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John was up there with the Lord, and Moses and Elijah was there. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. He didn't just say this is Him. He gives credence to Him. Gives glory and magnifies Him and says, hear Him. Listen to Him. Turn over to John chapter 12. Here's another time the Father spoke from heaven concerning His Son. John 12 verse 27 says, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. And others said an angel spake to him. That first generation that heard that said God spoke from heaven. He's going to glorify His name. He responded to this man because they're one. The next generation went and said, well, there was an angel that come down and spoke. Then another generation went and said, well, it thundered real big that day. Then another generation went and said, well, it might have sprinkled some. I think there's a cloud. we go down. No, we just degenerate, get worse. The Father bore witness to the crucifixion. He rent that veil from top to bottom. The earth shook. The graves opened up. People walked as darkness over the whole world for 3 hours. After Christ ascended to glory, the disciples were looking up at the sky. They said, where'd He go? We're all alone. And there was two men dressed in all white raiment sitting next to Him. And they spoke. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. The Father witnessed the Son. He declares it. That's His Son. Hear Him, and He's coming again. That's the witness of the Father. Now back in our text, John 5. The Lord said He came to do the Father's will. They're one. But if he had testified himself, it would have been open for question. So he gave us a sure, steadfast witnesses. John the Baptist, the works he was sent to perform, and the Father in heaven. It says in verse 37, "And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not." These Pharisees, they were not convinced by God's ambassador, by his prophets. They had heard, they had saw these works that Christ performed firsthand. And they were offended to the point they were going to murder him. They heard the voice from heaven. They heard the heavens rumble. A voice speak. And they said, well, it was just an angel. Maybe it was just thunder. They discounted three witnesses. Wouldn't have one of the three. Now the Redeemer is going to get them right where they eat and sleep. He's going to bring it to their doorstep. What was tucked underneath their very arm walking around the street so everybody could see. Here's the fourth witness. It says in verse 39, "Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." That very thing tucked underneath your arm. You go search that. It witnesses of me, is what he's telling them. Aren't you thankful for Gutenberg? That printing press. At this time, you know how precious, physically precious, the Word of God was? Somebody had to handwrite that out. That's what the scribes did. They scribed and they wrote it out. And then finally now, with technology and the printing press and all these things, then they had to set type and it still took forever. Do one page at a time. Now you go to a quickie mart, find the Bible, can't you? The access we have. How thankful I am of that. I said before that these witnesses were going to increase in greatness, didn't I? John the Baptist, the miracles Christ performed on this earth, the Father speaking, and now the Scriptures. Does that mean that the Scriptures you and I have so abundantly all around us, that we have in our homes, in our cars, in our offices, in our lives, is greater than God's preacher, than an experience of hearing a voice or seeing something miraculous happen? It is. Turn over to 2 Peter 1. And old brother Maurice says, do we treat it as such? 2 Peter 1. Peter writes here in verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain," on that Mount of Transfiguration. He says in verse 19, "And we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." We have his holy, infallible, undefiled word. And it ain't open to private interpretation. How do I know these things? How compare Scripture with Scripture? I give the same advice in that office back there as I give from this pulpit. Why? Because it ain't my advice. I had somebody threaten to sue me the other day. They said they want something for free and I wouldn't give it to them. They said, you called me personal distress. And I thought, what comes to mind? 1 Corinthians 6, I had to sort that out. You have a problem among you, and it's a bad one. And I said, go hire a lawyer. I don't think they'll act on it, but we'll see. He said from verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." God sends his prophets, his apostles, his preachers, and they all speak of Christ alone. They point you to him. They witness him. Any experience, any miracles, any angels speaking, things you can see, things you can hear, they all witness of him. of His person and His work. The Father, the angels, they speak of Him. Hear ye Him. That's the only one He's going to be pleased in. And these Scriptures that we ought to hold so dear. This Bible in your hand. It's written by men. And God, the Holy Ghost, moved their fingers to write it. And it witnesses Christ. Whether we see it or not, He said, Moses wrote of me. That's how I know Christ is the ark. I can say it with full assurance. Moses wrote of Him. That's who He spoke of. That's what the Scriptures are. Me and one of the Lord's children, a dear brother, was talking the other day about Bibles and red letter Bibles and black letter Bibles. My Bible I'm using, Christ's words are in red. And then another Bible I have, all words are in black. And I said, for me, it's quick. When I'm studying, I'm pressed for time. I could, and if I'm reading it out loud, I can say, well, here our Lord speaks. But in reality, is there a word in here that's not His? Is there a word from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation that's not His word? That He's ordained, that He's preserved? Everything else has falsehoods in it, can have error in it. And the Lord may sustain it. And I read commentaries and look at them, but there's some briars in there. I got to kind of sort through those. And like old Brother Barnard said, all you need is a Bible and a dictionary. And he said, these Scriptures are sure shed a whole lot of light on them commentaries. And that's the truth, isn't it? He's gave us His Word. We'll see this as a condemning witness next time. We'll pick up here. But I pray the Lord allow us to see Christ in these witnesses that He's recorded. See Christ in His prophets and His preachers, His apostles. See Christ in the miracles He performed and what He's doing now in His people. Growing them in grace. What a miracle. What happens when ain't nothing growing? There's death, isn't it? It's dead. The tree ain't growing. We looked at that last time. It's dead. Pray grows us in grace. Let's us see that. Let's us see the Father's witness of Him. How He's glorified Him. Where He is now. He's seated at the right hand of God. On His throne. Interceding for His people. Isn't that something? And we have the Scriptures that just prove Him over and over. Proves what I am over and over. The more I read it, boy, just the lower I get. That's me. You're right, Lord. And proves Him, my need of Him, His success, a successful Savior. When I say so often, come to Christ. We've just seen His witnesses. He's gave these unregenerate people. When I say come to Christ, come to Christ. You know what that means? Believing. Here's the witnesses. Here's His witness. Believing. Trust Him. You can trust Him. Like that chicken getting took over the fence. There's a Savior that's able. He can save to the uttermost. Trust Him. Cast all your care on Him. Believe Him. Come to Him. Do we believe Christ? Do we believe His Word? Do we believe His witness? His work that's accomplished. Do we believe Him? What's our response if we do? We ought to. We ought to believe Him. What's our response if we do? Hebrews 12, we say, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such great a witness, great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's put what God's put in our hands. Let's do it with all our might. What's the bones of that race? What's the essence of that race? What's the meat and potatoes of it? Looking unto Jesus. Believing Him. Trusting Him. The author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we believe His witnesses, we're going to look to Him. If we believe His witnesses, we believe Him. He sent the witnesses, don't we? And then we cry out like that man, Lord, I believe. I believe Him. I believe His Word. And more so every day. Not just practically, but believe His Word. Lord, I believe. Help Thou my unbelief. You're the only one that can help. Lord, I believe. Help Thou my unbelief.